Our gospel text for this midweek service is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is our text. As we continue our study of the Apostles' Creed during our midweek services this spring, we look at the first article. But did you know that the Apostles' Creed is the oldest of the three universal or Catholic creeds of the Christian Church? The Catholic creeds consist of the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian Creed. The Apostles' Creed was born out of a need to define the Christian faith. Shortly after the day of Pentecost and the establishment of the church, false doctrine began to seep in. So the early Christian church established a confession of faith to define what teachings comprise the Catholic faith. The idea behind the creeds is once you have a definition of the faith, it's much easier to defend that faith against false teachings. However, more than simply defining and defending the Christian faith, it also enables you to declare your faith to the world. It's important to know that the Apostles' Creed has no authority of its own. What I mean by that is that the Apostles' Creed is completely and utterly dependent upon the Word of God for its authority. In other words, just because a creed says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," doesn't make that statement true. That statement's true because the Word of God says the Father is the creator of heaven and earth. Allow me to illustrate. Do you know that the moon does not generate its own light? The moon is simply a dead planet hurling around space, reflecting the light of the sun. In the same way, the Apostles' Creed reflects the teachings of the Bible. The creed begins with two important words: I believe. I, because it is a personal confession. You cannot believe for someone else. Your faith will not get your unbelieving best friend into heaven, any more than someone else taking your medication for you and you expecting to be healed. When it comes to faith, you must believe for yourself. Thus the creed begins, "I believe." I want you to notice that the creed says, "I believe," and not, "I know." There are two ways to know truth. First, you know it in your mind or understanding, and second, you know it in your heart, which is believing. The point is, you can know things in your mind that have absolutely no impact on the way that you live your life. For example, we know for a fact that the world is round, but that knowledge doesn't impact the way you necessarily live your everyday life. There is an infinitely long list of things you know you should be doing but don't. And there is just as long a list of things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but unfortunately you do, right? Knowledge alone does not change the way you live your everyday life. On the other hand, belief is different because belief drives actions in our lives. So if I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, it will have an impact on the way that I live my life. So knowing in my head is not the same thing as believing in my heart. Therefore, the creed is saying, I don't just know, I believe with all of my heart. We will discover that the Apostles' Creed has three distinct parts or articles. The first part or first article defines God as the Father Creator. The second article defines God as the Son who redeems. And then the third article defines God as the Holy Spirit who is the sanctifier, which is really a fancy way of saying he makes us holy. Well, today we explore that first article of Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Our God is infinitely powerful, yet intimately personal. We heard that in the reading today. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven. Those words, "Our Father," demonstrate that our Heavenly Father has infinite relationship with His creatures, you and me. He is not our Father in the other room. He is our infinite Father. On April the 12th of 1961, Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin was the first human being to enter into outer space. Upon entering space, he famously said, "I looked and I looked, but I did not see God." Well, he was right, because the orbit of Earth is not heaven. Our God is ubiquitous, which means he fills heaven and earth. Our God is not confined to space and time like we are. He is ultimately the beginning and the end. The psalmist writes it this way, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of the earth, you are there." God went on to teach his disciples to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." The name of our God throughout human history has been hallowed. God's name has invoked great fear. Allow me to illustrate. Do you agree the bigger the mammal, the more fear it invokes? For example, if you have a chihuahua named Diesel, it doesn't invoke much fear in me, although chihuahuas are known to be one of the most nippy dogs breeds around. But if you have a pit bull by the name of Blitz, I tell you what, that would invoke fear in me. Not because all pit bulls are mean, but just they're big and intimidating. The second commandment says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." That commandment dictates that we do not take God's name lightly. Therefore, as Christians, we are not to take our Heavenly Father or our faith in Him lightly. What I find as the most amazing thing about our Heavenly Father, that is in spite of the fact of His intimate power and His majesty, He loves His individual creatures intimately. You see that in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Well, you might as well just incorporate your name, "For God so loved you that He gave His one only Son." Or that God demonstrates His love for you, that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. How is it possible for a creator God to have such a personal relationship with His creation? Dear friends, it has to do with His love for me and for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.